So let's have our teaching time. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who is paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So there's this big theology conference, as it were. Jesus is teaching, and Luke tells us, the other accounts actually don't tell us, that these are Pharisees and teachers of the law, Pharisees and scribes, who have come from every town of Galilee and from every town of Judea. Traveled some distance, even in Jerusalem. So it's not surprising that this house is full. This is a group of the most educated, the most interested, the most studied in the Bible and what it teaches. But Jesus is teaching differently than these men have ever heard. Luke has emphasized that for us. He doesn't teach like others teach. He teaches with authority. He's not like their teachers who would say, "Rabbi so-and-so says this, and Rabbi thus and thus says that," and on down the list, and just droning on and on about what all the rabbis have suggested. Jesus says what the text means. And so it's teaching with authority. And they are there. So the house is full. It's interesting, and it says the end of verse 17, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." These Pharisees and scribes don't seem to be the kind who feel that they need healing. This is connected with the next passage in which Jesus calls Matthew, or Levi, this is his other name, who is a tax collector, and Matthew gets converted, and he invites all his tax collector and sinner friends, and there are Pharisees and scribes there, and they are very offended that Jesus has tax collectors and sinners for disciples, and they complain against his disciples. They say, "Why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus says, "It is not the well who need a physician, but the sick." Okay, so Pharisees and scribes in this context, in Luke chapter 5, are the kind of people who do not know that they need healing. But there is a guy who knows that he needs healing, and there are other guys with him who know that he needs healing, and that is the paralytic. But Jesus doesn't fulfill their expectations either. They make this great effort, right? They get up on the roof. They make a space in the tiling big enough to let a man down through. You can imagine the Pharisees and scribes inside, and the dust and the particles of the whatever the roof was made of, whether it was thatch or even like mud tiles or stone tiles or whatever. And they're like, "What is happening?" And suddenly there's a hole in the roof, and guys are letting down a stretcher with a paralytic on it. It would have been a great commotion. They knew that Jesus could heal this man. They knew that this man needed healing. And when Jesus sees all that they have done, it says when he saw their faith, that he turns to the man and he says to him, "Man," and the next bit is surprising even to him and his friends, isn't it? They thought he needed to walk. They thought he needed to regain the use of his legs. But what did he need even more than that? He needed to be forgiven. He needed to be forgiven of his sins. The reason there are people whose legs don't work, the reason there is injury, the reason there is illness, the reason there is anything bad in this world is because of our sin. It all reminds us that our greatest need is to have our sin and guilt put away from before God, that we might be credited with the righteousness of Christ. And if you are, then ultimately, you won't just have your legs healed. You'll be resurrected from the dead with a glorious body like Christ's. So he didn't need his legs to be fixed so that they would work for another 30 or 40 years or however long he would live on the earth. I mean, he needed that and he gets that. But what he ultimately needed was the forgiveness of his sins, to be made perfect in holiness, to be resurrected in the body, and to live righteously, perfectly holy, perfectly happy forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And that's what each one of us need. None of you are paralyzed. But we all need the forgiveness of our sins. And so when he saw their faith, Jesus turns and he says to the man, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now these Pharisees and scribes who have come all this distance and gathered in this theology conference to hear this man who understands what the Bible teaches suddenly decide that he is a blasphemer, that he is worthy of death, because someone who blasphemes was to be executed. Say, so who is this that blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The Lord Jesus perceives their thoughts. That's an important thing for us to remember, that God always sees and hears what we are thinking. We cannot hide who we are from the Lord. We often work hard to hide who we are from others. And we even try to deceive ourselves. We rationalize what we're thinking, or we ignore our wicked thoughts, or we don't even pay attention to what we're thinking. And that's what Jesus addresses in his first question. And he says, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" We need to ask ourselves that question, because God can see what we are thinking. Remember what Hebrews 4 says the scriptures often do. The scriptures are living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what does he do with them? He reveals to us, he discerns to us, detects for us the thoughts and intentions of our hearts by means of the Bible. That's a blessing. It's something that people ignore, and something that would be terrifying literally to death apart from God's forgiveness and righteousness for us in Jesus Christ. But it's something that we have to do, is to ask, why are we reasoning in our hearts? Why are we thinking the way that we're thinking? And Jesus calls their attention to that, calls our attention to that, and then says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He wasn't just defending himself. The Lord Jesus doesn't need to defend himself. He was evangelizing them, isn't he? It is a great comfort to sinners that the Lord Jesus has power to forgive our sins. They needed to know that so that they could face their sins. You need to know that so that you can admit your sinfulness in your heart before God, so that you can be honest with yourself and before the Lord about your sinfulness, your guiltiness, your deserving hell. You need to know that Jesus Christ has power to forgive sins. And so the healing of this paralytic wasn't just for him, wasn't just for the men who brought him, whose faith Jesus had seen. It was also for all of these scribes and Pharisees from every town of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem, that they would be brought to faith by knowing that Jesus has power on earth to forgive sins. And so he tells the man, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. This man needed to hear Jesus teach. We all need to hear Jesus teach. But we all need forgiveness far more than we need from healing from any earthly condition. We need forgiveness far more than to be taught any other thing. The first thing we must learn is Christ himself and our need of him and his power to meet that need. Our need of him for forgiveness and his power to forgive sins. Jesus says this man is forgiven. He's obviously identifying the man as a believer. As this man lives, he's going to learn what Jesus teaches. He's going to be baptized and taught to keep all that Jesus has commanded, according to Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, of course. So he does need to learn from Jesus, but Jesus underlines the importance, the priority of forgiveness by telling this man to take up his bed and go to his house. And so the man does, and he's glorifying God. And these other men are glorifying God for what they have seen with their eyes. And God helping them. I hope that we will see some of them in glory. I hope we'll see all of them in glory. Doesn't seem to be encouraging from the rest of the gospel that will be the case. But God helping them, I hope that they not only concluded that they had seen strange things with their eyes, but that they had met God in the flesh, who could forgive sins, because God alone can forgive sins. More than that, because of my love for you and God entrusting us to one another, my dear children, I pray that you would know that the Lord Jesus has power to forgive you. Not just to heal people so that their legs work for a little while, but that your greatest need is the forgiveness of sins. And that the reason Jesus healed this man was so that you would know that his death on the cross and his righteousness can be your forgiveness and your righteousness with God. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this portion of your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for displaying yourself not merely as a great teacher who taught with authority, but especially as the one who has power on earth to forgive sins. We recognize that the harder thing to say was actually that the sins were forgiven, although it was easier to get away with saying it because it couldn't be observed. But Lord, for you genuinely to forgive, it cost you the cross. It cost you suffering the wrath that our sins deserve. And so we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you said it and that you can do it. And we ask that you would make us to question our hearts, question our thoughts, ask ourselves why we are reasoning thus. Have your word expose us. But Lord, also we pray that you would have your word expose you, that we would learn about you and trust in you for the forgiveness of our sins. Do this, we ask, in your own name, Lord Jesus. Amen.